Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm Natalie.
And I'm Jason.
And today we are joined by two of our very good friends, colleagues, Tamisha and Tim. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
We are
Thanks for
so
having
excited. We are so excited to chat with you guys. You guys made some big moves recently in your life. And so we are going to dive into how do you make this huge life change while still maintaining bariatrics and all of the things that we have to juggle. So that's what we're gonna talk about. Before we get into that though, Tamisha, Tim, please introduce yourselves.
after you.
I'm Tim. I had bariatric surgery two, was it a year or two?
It was January 4th of 2022.
I think so.
We have to
Yeah, so
think
almost
about
2 years.
how old Willow is. For those who don't know, we had a baby in between
Yeah.
bariatrics, and he was in surgery during one of my ultrasounds.
That's right.
So we had to
See?
think about, I know I never let him live it down, and Willow will know about that for the
Yeah.
rest of her life.
So 2 years post-op.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And my name's Tamisha. I'm a bariatric patient as well as a bariatric therapist, and I had surgery September 14th of 2021.
Amazing. Well, we're excited. I think we just go ahead and dive in. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Awesome. So before we get really into it, what is this big change that you guys have made? Because I'm fascinated. I follow you guys. What's different? What's happening?
I would say everything just as a whole for the most part.
Yeah. I definitely think, and you know, we all know that bariatrics plays just such a huge role in our lives and helps us to kind of put our priorities straight, because for the first time in our lives, we no longer have to necessarily be that people pleaser. And so we get to just take a step back and figure out we have this whole life in front of us, and we have this incredible privilege and gift to be able to take back our life. And so, how do we want to live that life that we now have and these opportunities?
Yeah.
And so, it really, this talk started really after we had Willow and after your surgery.
Yeah.
And so, for those who don't know, we sold our house and we are traveling full time with us and our kids. Is wild.
Yes, it is.
It is wild. There have been a lot of times where I'm like, man, that sounds really nice. And then you start thinking about all of the things that go into it, that can be really, really challenging.
To say the least,
Yeah.
absolutely. So, what was like your moment where you were like, all right, I have this life, I have this like new sense of belonging. What do we do?
For the most part, it was just the amount of maintenance and just it felt like there was just constant cleaning, mowing the lawn, just nonstop fixing stuff. It just got to the point where it was like the family was pushed aside just to keep up with keeping the house clean and dishes and everything else. It was, I think that was my real like kicker. Just let's just sell everything and enjoy life.
Hey friends, it's April, and I want to welcome Dive Bar Nutrition to the Berry Nation family. They are official sponsor of the Berry Nation podcast, and we are thrilled to have Professor Phil and his team on board. Jason, Natalie, and I have been enjoying Dive Bars for years because they taste amazing, they have great macros, and they are really built to help us succeed. Dive Bar Nutrition is just launching a new bariatric friendly called Dive Bar Bites. They're the mini versions of their best-selling bars, and they're caffeine-free. You can buy a Dive Bar Madness kit and discover what flavor is your favorite. Head to Dive Bar Nutrition right now, get that Dive Bar Madness kit, and join us to crown your favorite Dive Bar flavor at the end of March. And don't forget to use code BERRYNATION when you check out to get 22% off your order.
Well, and the thing about it that some people may not know is you guys didn't just sell everything to travel. You guys sold everything and bought an RV and are traveling in an RV. So you've taken a family from a house and you've packed it all into a very small space to travel with each other across the country. So it's more, you know, that's another whole change in itself is having to downsize from, you know, a whole house to being in an RV. So I know that, you know, one of those things as we downsize as bariatric patients, it makes it easier for things like that to happen because we know, you know, at our largest size, that would be the last thing we wanted to do was cram ourselves in an RV
I
and try
mean,
to move around.
yeah. I mean, if I was still 400 pounds, there's no way. Like, it just would be so uncomfortable in here. So, I mean, that was, I mean, without bariatric surgery, I don't think I could have. It's not something I could be able to do.
I think the like biggest NSV for like downsizing is that like we physically can be in the same location at the same time, because my highest was 330, his highest was over 400, right? So like at our highest weights, like we could barely fit like on a king mattress sleeping together, right? Like, so we in our brains when we were looking for the RV, because you know you still. It took us years to get to our highest weight. It's going to take us years for our minds to catch up on us. I know that's a common thing, but we looked at each other and we looked at this queen size bed and we were like, I don't do this. I don't. But.
That was a tough, I guess, mentally it was kind of hard to like pull the trigger on it because it was just like there's no way we're gonna be comfortable. And obviously you're going from a decent sized bedroom to, you know, you can just scoot around the bed. So it was yeah, still in that mindset of, wow, I'm not gonna be able to fit or be comfortable. And lo and behold, it's as comfortable as it was in our, you know, our actual house. So
And in the great scheme of things, like although we're almost 4 years and 2 years out from surgery, we're still in that mindset of like we need to save things because just in case, specifically around like clothing and our past stuff. So it almost it made us come face to face with like we are downsizing significantly. So what is important to us, and what do we need right now in our bodies?
And what were some of those items that were, you know, so important to you pre-surgery that maybe you had to let go of? Jeans, I don't know, like what were some of those things that were like, oh, I'm struggling to get rid of this?
I think I'm not even exaggerating. We probably threw away, or not threw, we donated at least 5 or 6 contractor bags full of clothes that, I mean, personally, I've been holding on to clothes. Like, I'm the kind of person that's like, I still had clothes from high school that I like didn't even know I had that I can fit into now. So like, I'm glad I saved those, but I'm like, I don't plan on going back to the place I was. So let's kind of part ways with the clothes that are never, hopefully never gonna fit into again, and then, you know, just not take up all this extra space on stuff that is like, I don't know if I would call it a safety net. I don't know, but
Yeah, I had the problem. I have the problem. It's a me problem. I wanted to save everything because I wanted to like just remember all that I've like gone through, and it's almost like a reward for me to see those clothes and to see like how far I have come. So we have a very small storage unit full of like just our necessary documents and like baby stuff for the kids and things that like we couldn't part ways with, and I still have, I think my size 28 pairs of jeans, and I don't think I'll ever get over that. I don't think it's needed right now, and I really enjoy. I don't even know where that like breakaway came, where I'm like, oh, I can put this somewhere and acknowledge that it exists, but I don't need to physically have it with me right now. I know it's safe in a box somewhere, and she's still there, and she's honored. But she doesn't have to be with me right now.
Yeah, it's almost like a security blanket, so to speak. You kind of have it there. But I you know, I did this. I kept one outfit, and that was it. I kept one polo, one pair of shorts, and I've got a picture in those at my heaviest. So I, you know, that way I can use it to kind of document the progress that I have going on. So, but you do. I mean, I did find I cleaned out my closet again this weekend for the third time and found a bunch of stuff that I still had to get rid of. So I donated three, not contractor bags, but I did three regular size trash bags full of clothes to donate. So I mean it is cyclical in that way. Like you still hold on to things and go, well, you know, this isn't too big, so I'm gonna hang on to it. Just, you know, because you get kind of on your way down kind of thing. So that's what I had to break myself out of, because I was like, I put everything on and put my arms out. I did the sugar glider test. If I look like a flying squirrel, I win the bag. And there was more things I looked like a flying squirrel in than I didn't. So I just tossed it all. Yeah, it all went in the bag.
I don't know. I don't know if it's like a stereotypical, as you hear, like men, it's harder to throw away clothes. But at one point, Tim was like, I'm not buying any new underwear because my pants will hold up my underwear. Like, like, come on, my dude. Like, and even now, like his belt, he puts his belt on and it wraps almost twice around. And like, it's just,
I mean, it's just,
it's cool. It's a cool dynamic.
Tim's like, well, you gotta say that on a podcast.
Well, this is your PSA for those who will not buy themselves new underwear. Like,
Well, I
it's
mean,
true. Please buy yourself some
once I
new.
got to a certain point, I did. I like everything's got an upgrade. And now it's better
Yes.
because I don't have to spend, you know, triple the amount on a pair of anything.
Yeah.
That was the biggest reason why I didn't get new clothes, because it was just, I mean, there's no point of spend in my mind. It was like there's no point in spending, you know, $80 on a pair of jeans that, you know, so I just, you know, if they got holes in them, then, you know, patch them up and keep going.
Yeah.
But now it's like you walk into any store and I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
I know that's wild, especially like traveling. I'm just thinking of stores. So for those who don't know, I'm ADHD, so my brain kind of goes everywhere and those connections. But like little boutiques when you're traveling, like I was never able to like buy the cute dress like in the window, and now I'm at a size where they carry it. And it's not 80, 90, $100, depending on where you're traveling. But that's an MSB that I didn't even like recognize until talking about it.
I would, I would agree with that. Like, I guess now it's just, it's weird being able to go to a place where you don't have to like skip out on the memorabilia type of deal, because you know you're not going to fit in anything, or if you do, it's wash it once, it's going to be a size too small. But I've never, I mean, I've always been big, but you know, if since high school, it's been, if I go to a concert, it's like I can't buy a t-shirt because I don't make a size. But now it's like, wow, it's just insane. And yeah, like went to Dollywood in Tennessee yesterday, and literally buy anything in the store. It was just something that for me personally, I've never been able to do, even as a kid. Like,
Not only that, we went to Walmart because we're bougie on a budget, and I think we really need to state that out there. We if there's no coupons, it's not for us. And so we went to Dollywood, and we wanted to dress the part and have the kids be included, but we'll be damned if we spend $100 on a t-shirt for a 4-year-old. So we went to Walmart. And I came home with a Dolly t-shirt, and it's a size that I thought, mentally I continued to go back and just buy the size. And he puts it on, he's like, this is uncomfortably too big, right? So now we're able to dress the part and like really be a part of the community that we're traveling in, and not have to like be nervous about not fitting in or playing the part because of course, the stigma of weight.
Hey, this is April, one of your hosts. If the Berry Nation podcast has made a positive impact on your life, become a supporter. For $5 a month, you can help us produce this podcast. Your support would mean the world to us. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to learn more.
and there's no fat tax, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yes. That needs to be cross-stitched somewhere.
Yes.
Like, yes.
So I know we talked about, MSVs and things that have gotten a lot easier. What has been like harder to do on the road as a bariatric patient? I mean, you guys are nomading it, and I'm creating a new word, nomading, but you guys are truly just on the road, you're in an RV. There has to be some like, oh, this is kind of difficult as a bariatric patient.
There's still a lot of, it's still, I mean, everything is more difficult when it's just you're crammed. I don't want to say crammed, but I mean, I for an example, I guess for me, my hardest thing is staying on track with the diet, because it's like when we travel, we're in a kind of RV where, I mean, we can start the generator and everything in here works. So we could be driving and cook a meal, so we don't have to stop for fast food and stuff like that. Obviously, it's not ideal, but possible.
It's possible. And I think like we're still in the mindset of like, ooh, this kind of feels like vacation because it's so like it's something that we've wanted for so long that, our mindset is like, let's go back to the things that make us happy instantly. And for us, that was food. So it's really hard to like manage. Oh, we're in Louisiana, let's get some crawfish. Oh, we're in Texas, let's get some barbecue. But it's what, how do we have that balance of it? And what are the true things that bring us joy? And not to mention, I mean, we got vitamins that we need to think about. Where do we ship them and how do we ship them? And what's the time processing? And are we going to be in the same state for that long? We think about, protein bars, and of course, Walmart, Costco, BJ's has a great selection. And if you eat protein bars every day, like that selection gets old pretty quick, and things like that. So we really have to be mindful about where we stop, and it becomes a dance. But I think that's just honoring your bariatric life. And that commitment is something that we chose to do before, so at least for myself.
I mean, for me right now, I think it's the hardest thing is it's like that in my mind, it seems like vacation mode still, which I think is gonna over time is gonna go away, I hope. But yeah, it's just more so, I guess, staying on track and not letting old habits come back with, being in different and new places.
We really need to watch ourselves with that reward system because food to us was reward, right? Like, oh, we don't do this all the time. Oh, we don't go out all the time. Oh, when's the next time we're going to be able to experience again Louisiana crawfish or things like that? But it's a hard balance. The NSVs are awesome, as we know, but someone who personally battles a chronic illness, it's really tough. Because you kind of knew your bubble when you're back at home. You knew the things that your body could or could not do. It's familiar, right? Back at home, I knew that I could do Cannibal Lake Park, which is a local amusement park, which is smaller. But now my body is challenged with Dollywood or Disneyland, which is a much larger capacity. And although, like, bariatric wise, I'm able to. The things that my weight would have prevented me to do before, but now my chronic illness sneaks in there and is like, hey, we still can't do this. So it's a hard dynamic to travel and be able to experience this while also not really able to. I know I went off a tangent, but for those who are struggling with chronic illness, it's hard. It's a hard balance.
It's, I mean, it's not so much a tangent because technically it is part of your journey. I mean, that's it's one, if it's not one thing, it's another. And that's a true testament to the fact that, your bariatric life just becomes your life at some point, and you have to deal with those things. And bad things don't stop happening just because you had surgery and you're healing and trying to recover. So, that really is just showing people, not only how you guys navigate, being nomads across the country, but also how you juggle your chronic illness and the things, that factor into it. Like most people wouldn't think about the fact that you having to ship vitamins and doing those types of things and where you're going to be and how to time that out. And there's going to be missteps along the way, and there's going to be times where you think one thing's going to happen and you got to pause and pivot. But the fact is you guys are actually doing it, and you're committed to it enough to know that those things have to stay prevalent in the journey at all times. Because, like you said, vacation mode is really hard. Anytime you disrupt your regular everyday routine or have to come up with another routine, like, it takes time to do that. So, really working with yourself to make sure that you're not too hard on yourself while you're coming up with that or getting, settled in that new routine is going to also be very important, when it comes to your journey as well.
How have you guys walked yourself through, those challenges? I mean, we're talking you meal prepping and also wanting to enjoy these, flavors and foods that you're not used to, chronic illness. Like how do you guys support each other through these moments?
I just want to say I'm super sorry. For those who don't know, I have a cardiac alert yellow lab and he's whining. I'm physically okay, but I'm like starting to feel my heart kind of go, and it's just the heat, right? It's just the heat. My body's not regulating to the things. So he's whining and doing half barks, and that's what he does to alert. And he's still a 9-month-old yellow lab, so he's bred for cardiac. So he's like, "Mom, something's up, but I'm not sure what it is, but check yourself." So I'm treating
That's
him as
funny.
he's rewarding. So I just want to apologize if I keep jumping in and out. With that, I want to be honest, like
So
we're not balancing
it's
it very well,
no, it's
right?
been
Like,
it's been a struggle for, I mean, for me definitely. I mean, both of us have.
And I just want to preference, if I can, like we are two bariatric patients, right? Like our love language is food. We love food, and it's a common bond. And to think that that just like, and we've been together since we were 16, to think that that just like goes away, it doesn't.
It's always that has always been a struggle. I mean, I think now it's more so just habit. I don't know, I guess I would say, just because that's what I mean. It was that was just what we did in high school. It was like date night or whatever it was. Let's
No.
go to dinner and.
It's really interesting because we were driving the strip of Tennessee, and we were just like looking at all these restaurants, and I was like, "Ooh, that looks like a really great like fancy plate." I think it was like mellow mushroom pizza or whatever. That's just like the name of it. And so I was like, that looks like a really nice, flavorful place to eat. And we started talking and we were like, that was never something that we would have chose.
It
We would have
was.
chose something with a bigger portioned
That's
plate.
what we always went by. And like, I
Yes.
never realized that until she mentioned. I was like, wow, like, it didn't matter what kind of food we were eating. It's just like, as long as the portion was there, who cares what it tastes like? And now it's like we go into a restaurant, it's like, okay, what looks like it's gonna actually taste good now?
Yeah,
going over the quality versus the quantity is a huge difference I've noticed in my life. I'm not nomading, but that's just a general difference, I think, is like I could go to Tex-Mex, but I'm gonna eat a quarter of the plate and it's not gonna be that good, and I'm gonna feel kind of bad because I also have a chronic illness. And I'm like, no, I'll splurge for a little bit more of like the nicer meals, the nicer cut of meat, because I want it and it's the right portion. It's going to fill me up. It's going to make me feel good. I know, Jason, that's something that you have also gone through as well.
Yeah, because I was a volume eater. I was like just like you guys. I didn't care. Whatever gave me the biggest portion, whatever I could eat that was insanely, ridiculously too much, that's what I went for. And I've really, it's been very hard for me to break out of that mindset. And so I really have started choosing things that really have full, rich flavors because I'm going to make my bites count, because I know I don't have that many of them. So I really want to go for things that benefit me more, because I'm a foodie regardless. Like, I love cooking. I love the, how things are put together. That's important to me. So I want to be able to enjoy that more than I do just sheer volume anymore.
It's fun to be able to notice it, right? Like we knew that it was something that we did, but we didn't recognize why we did it until we go through this journey and we're like, ooh, there it is. She's back.
And the huge win that I'm hearing is you noticed it. You're like, oh, huh. I wouldn't have chosen this restaurant before, but why did I choose? Like, connecting those dots are, that's huge. That's a huge NSV.
Hey, this is April. Jason, Nat, and I love making this podcast for you each and every week, but we need your help to keep it going. Become a Berry Nation podcast supporter for $5 a month and help us produce this show. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to join us.
Before we go, what is some advice that you would give to maybe bariatric patients listening, watching? What would you say to them if they are either going through a large life change or anticipating a large life change? What's a piece of advice you'd have for them?
Ooh, what do you think?
Well, just, I guess, confidence and, I don't know,
Just do
that
it.
stuff. Yeah. Like,
Just do it. You have the fundamentals. You know what your body needs when you listen to it. Trust your instincts. And I don't know, every person that I've like talked to, I'm like, just in your house. Like, just nomad. Like, it's great. It's fine. We're all fine. Like, but it's, once you get that confidence to just live out your dream, like, this is gonna sound really corny, but like, once you get the confidence to just like live out your dream, like, it really is a cool thing to just like, and for those who know me know, like, that fuck it attitude, like, that, like, and the contents of like, I'm finally gonna take over my happiness. And like, I matter. My family matters. We matter. And just so now everybody just needs to sell their house and let's travel together.
So just, I mean, whatever the change may be, take the opportunity to, I mean, make it the best. And I mean, I will say, being a stay-at-home dad now has been extremely stressful. But I mean, the amount of things we've been able to do with both our children is just something that I never thought we'd be able to do until they were older. So it's just one of those things where it's like, just if you're gonna take the plunge, just stay confident and, just trust yourself, really, I guess.
And we'll create a big Barry convoy and just everybody travel together in the Barry convoy and
Oh, it's gonna
let's
be like the
do
Grateful Dead, the Grateful Barry. Like, oh, I love
it. Oh, I'm so here for it. But I think that's so true, right? Just with our bariatric lives, we took the plunge, we just did it. As Tamisha says,
Get
we just
out.
had an eff it attitude and just took charge. And I think in these big, we forget, right, as we go on in this journey that, oh yeah, we did that huge thing like a couple years ago with confidence, like you said, Tim. And why can't I just do another big thing? I can. I just have to have the confidence. So I love all of that.
I think it's really cool
Well,
to like remember your reason why, right? Like, we get so like stuck on like, oh, our reason why was skydiving, being able to like play with our grandchildren on the floor, like all of these things. And then we get to our reason why and we check that box, and then what keeps us going, right? Like, all right, we're settled, but what brings us that joy? And just like, where's your nature?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, like Tim said, the confidence to do the big thing, like we've done the big thing. And so for some people, this is that big thing. And you got just, you know, this is how easily these, you know, the Barry conversations translate to just life conversations as a whole. Move through your journey with the same confidence you would, like, you know, like Tim and Tamisha did selling their house and buying an RV and becoming nomads. Like you have to move through each of these journeys with the same amount of confidence and the same effort attitude and just buckle down and do what you got to do. Cause like you only get one life to live. You only get one chance. So now that we have, you know, this new lease on life, we need to take a full advantage of it. And that it works for the journey just like it does any other big decision.
Agreed.
My one thing is that if bariatric providers or merchandisers are listening, please add more bariatric merchandise into regular stores. You know, we need it, we matter too.
Yeah, agreed. I think they're starting to get it. They're starting to get it. So we're just, we gotta keep the momentum going. Amazing. Well, Tamisha, Tim, this has been such a fun episode for us to shoot, just getting to know you both more. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you on social media if they're not watching on YouTube?
So Instagram.
Instagram, where we are the Millers, Malones, get it? Huh? You know, sorry. Sorry, bad joke. We are the Malones. Again, do apologize. Winston's like, Mom, something's up. So I do apologize again. And then that's the alert telling me. But we are the Millers, haha, Malones. We are the Malones. We're the Malones on YouTube, and we're actually documenting our journey in real time around the struggles of bariatric patients and parents also trying to navigate, you know, what do you need while also keeping tiny humans alive on the road, and just figuring out as we go.
Awesome.
Everything is new, so I'm in
Yes.
with it and hoping for
Yeah.
the
We haven't killed each other so far, so like I think we're doing all
We'll get there. I mean.
okay. I think we're doing good. Yeah. And if you do not know, Tamisha is also an expert in the Berry Nation support community. We are so grateful for her and everything that she does. She leads weekly support groups, everything from general support to grief support, because grief is a part of our journeys along the bariatric realm of everything. So she is just a wonderful asset to the Berry Nation community, and we just thank you for that. So if you'd like to connect with her, you can go to berrynation.mn.co and sign up for our support community and attend one of Tamisha's support groups. She leads them every week. So pretty awesome.
And I act just like this too. So you get what you get with me. Come and have a good time.
That's why we adore her. So awesome. Jason, my friend, do you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Tim, Tamisha. We appreciate you guys giving us a little bit of your time. We know how kind of stressful it could be while you're out on the road to sit down for a second and actually record a podcast. So we appreciate you guys so much. And to all the people in the community, we appreciate you for continuing to like, share, and subscribe and tell people that we exist because there are people out there that need the kind of support that we offer, and letting them know that we're here is just helping them to, you know, help someone else. So we appreciate you guys for all of that. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.